Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
This is the latest in our series, The Life of a Song, and I'm Fiona Sturgis. This week, Smoke on the Water. It's the song forever being butchered in the bedrooms of novice guitarists. Famed for its iconic riff, Smoke on the Water by the band Deep Purple is among the most instantly recognisable songs in rock, which is why it's outlawed in scores of guitar shops, lest it send the staff into a fit of rage. It was December 1971, and the band had arrived in Montreux in Switzerland to make an album in the Rolling Stones mobile studio. The studio was stationed next door to the casino, an entertainment complex on the edge of Lake Geneva. While they were there, a concert by Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention was held in the casino's theatre. Midway through the show, a fan fired a flare gun into the wooden rafters, which swiftly caught fire. Zappa stopped the music and directed fans to the exits. Within hours, the building had burnt to the ground. But miraculously, no one was killed. The members of Deep Purple watched the fire from their hotel across the lake and quickly set about writing a song. It was their bassist, Roger Glover, who came up with the name Smoke on the Water. The working title had been Duh, Duh, Duh on account of guitarist Ritchie Blackmore's riff. Deep Purple's singer, Ian Gillan, took charge of the lyrics. He wrote a scene-by-scene account of what had taken place. From the fan, who he calls some stupid, shooting the flare gun into the air, to Claude Nobbs, the casino's owner, who he calls Funky Claude, running in and out and pulling kids out of the ground. We all came out to Montreux. It's thanks to Funky Claude that the song saw the light of day. Initially, the band had no plans to include Smoke on the Water on their album. Not least because Ian Gillan was worried the title made it sound like a drug song. But when Claude Nobbs heard it, he said, "You're crazy, it's going to be a huge hit." He wasn't wrong. In 1972, Smoke on the Water appeared on Deep Purple's sixth album, Machine Head, and was released as a single a year later. It is now held up as a classic rock anthem, thanks in part to the infectious simplicity of the guitar riff. The band's guitarist, Ritchie Blackmore, would have to defend the riff against sniffy interviewers who suggested his use of just four notes made it too basic to be any good. His response was that they should listen to the opening of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Over the years, Smoke on the Water has yielded cover versions that range from the decent to the inexplicable. One of the decent covers was a charity recording to help victims of the 1988 Armenian earthquake. It featured an all-male roll call of top rockers, including Bruce Dickinson, Bryan Adams, Tony Iommi, Brian May, and Keith Emerson, and it dialed up the rock histrionics to seismic effect. A less successful version is Pat Boone's deeply peculiar Samba Come Big Band treatment for an album of rock covers called In a Metal Mood in 1997. The album seemed to have been made with the sole intention of showing that this white bread singer had a sense of humour. Similarly baffling is the finger-clicking swing jazz version of Smoke on the Water by the now disgraced Australian entertainer Rolf Harris for his LP Rolf Rules OK. Here, He employs his usual jaunty singing style, even while uttering the words, "Watch it burn." It's a measure of Smoke on the Water's enduring regard amongst guitar obsessives that it's repeatedly used in attempts to break the world record for the number of guitarists playing at once. In 2014, Ian Gillan from Deep Purple joined scores of amateur rockers in playing the song on the beach in Lyme Regis in the UK. However, they failed to beat the record achieved at a festival in Poland in 2009, when 6,346 guitarists performed it together, led by the current Deep Purple guitarist, Steve Morse. After their early ambivalence, the members of Deep Purple have evidently developed an affection for their most famous song, safe in the knowledge that as long as people play guitar, it will never go out of favour.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.